Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Brentwood, Tennessee.
That'd be really weird. What about Bridgestone?
Brewstone Arena.
There you go.
There it is. That's where Robbie Falk is right this second. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy a Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. If you're not cooking out, well, let somebody else's beef sizzle for you. Go to one of our great steakhouses around the state of Mississippi. They're literally everywhere. You can't go too far down the road in the state of Mississippi without finding a fantastic place to get them to cook you a steak. If you're cooking out this weekend, make it beef. If you're not, make it beefy anyway. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. You are looking for it. You need new gear. Now's the time to get it. We're getting into spring, so it's time to update that wardrobe a little bit with some new polos, some new t-shirts. They've got everything you're looking for at College Corner. They've got the logos that you want. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, for dinner. For Sunday brunch, the best meal in town, always at Restaurant Tyler. If you're going to be in Starkville anytime soon, if you're going to be here this weekend for baseball, if you're going to be back next week for whatever reason, the next time you're here, or if you just live here and you're thinking, hey, where do I want to go to lunch today? The place to go is Restaurant Tyler. Great lunch, great dinner. Sunday brunch is the best in town. It's all right there at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. They'll show you not only where they're located, they'll show you how they're going to help you invest and manage your money and prepare for the future. When you have questions about your money, you don't want to have to wait around for an answer. That's your money. You deserve answers on your schedule. You deserve to talk to somebody who not only knows your money, but knows you as well. You need a bank that provides a level of service that you're only going to get at Priority One Bank. If you live in Central Mississippi, you live near a Priority One Bank location, let Priority One Bank make you their priority. As you can see, Robbie Falk is live from the media green room there in Bridgestone Arena at the SEC tournament following Mississippi State's sumptuous victory. It's been too long, Robbie, since it was just start to finish a butt-kicking. I've been waiting around for months to get back to here where it was just pretty stress-free from start to finish.
And today in these games, this is the only game that was like a legit blowout. Every other game has been close. Mm-hmm. Now, Arkansas, they were up by like 16, and they let South Carolina back in the game. Was the other game? Texas let Vandy back in it. Mm-hmm. But this was the first one that was
and going
just
on right now is one as well.
Oklahoma and Georgia coming down to the wire.
Seal that invitation up if they can hold on to this lead.
But this is Mississippi State. LSU stinks. I think there's a case to be made, a very good case, LSU is the worst team in the league. Mm-hmm. I think they're worse than South Carolina because they don't have a dominant post player like South Carolina has. They're just not very good. Mm-hmm. But this is what Mississippi State was supposed to do to teams like LSU this year. Mm-hmm. This is what State was supposed to look like. I thought just a thorough beating. Outside of a stretch there early in the second half where Mississippi State got real lax on both ends of the floor, I thought it was dominant on both ends. And it go like the way that we argued the other day, I think a lot of that played out in this game at times on both sides.
Yeah.
But I think at the end of the day, the defense was what really made Mississippi State go today. Mm-hmm. You know, Josh Hubbard kept Mississippi State floating there early in the second half. He had 10 of the first 11 points mm-hmm. when nobody else could score. But and in the in that time period, they were getting in the ball game. That's kind of where I've come from with Josh Hubbard. I don't think Mississippi State is a great offensive team when Josh Hubbard is having to do all the scoring.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds strange when you look and there's nobody else scored in double figures, but look how many people scored and look at the guys that scored 8+ points. They did spread around the wealth today. It was just spread around so much that there was nobody else that scored over 10 points, but Hubbard certainly made them tick. And I thought defensively what State did, and coupled with the fact that LSU just was bad, that is when Mississippi State is playing its best, is when they can turn those empty possessions into transition, speed up the offense a little bit, pick up the pace, and get out and score. That's what happened late in the second half, or in the first half, and in the second half. 10 minutes consecutively to end the first half where LSU did not make a bucket.
Yeah.
They were one of their last 16 in the first half. Mississippi State ended the half on a, I think, a 23-5 run.
Mm-hmm.
So
17-0 run in there as well. So
yeah, they had a 17-0 run in the second half as well when that lead had gotten down to 11. So defense certainly, I thought, was leading the charge there. But this is exactly what you needed. Whatever happens in the Missouri game, I don't think is going to affect Mississippi State one way or the other when it comes to the NCAA tournament. It might, if they win, it might work them up maybe towards the 7 seed. We'll mm-hmm. see what happens there. But as far as the, you know, negatively impacting this team, I don't see it happening. You had to win this game, and you needed to win it feeling really good. And that's what happened. You hit 15 three-pointers, which is the most since 2019. The most this season easily is the second-best percentage they've shot this year. And was just, I thought, just a thorough beating, and that's exactly what this team needed.
This is one of the weirder box scores we've seen this year in a season of weird box scores. So, as you mentioned, Hubbard, the only Bulldog in double figures, he has 26. Murphy and Jones each have 9. Harris, Nwoko, and Kugel each have 8. And of all the people in the world, Martavius Russell and R.J. Melendez have 7. I didn't have getting Gal Chol and Jeremy Femina into the game today, but that happened.
I could see Chol, but I mean, I feel like we haven't seen Jeremy Femina since non-conference play.
Maybe it's since like early December. Yeah, you're right about that. State shoots 52% from the field, 44% from 3. They only took 10 free throws in the whole game. They out-rebound LSU by 8. Bench points is the real difference here. 38-2. State outscores the Tigers. They force 15 turnovers. And what has to be their best performance all year, at least in SEC play, from defending behind the arc. The Tigers only 5 of 26. I watched this game, Robbie. Of that 5 makes, I'm willing to guarantee at least 3 were highly contested three-point shots that just went in. Like the defense was good, and LSU just got a bucket to drop in that one. Just a really thoroughly dominating performance. And you just sort of hit on it there. State just needed to have a stress-free day of basketball. They needed to come in and say, we're the better team. We're going to lead this game from start to finish. We're going to pull out ahead, and it's going to be over before we get midway through the second half. And that's exactly what they got. I tend to agree with you. You know, the latest bracketology had State on as a 9 seed. Not a good draw for State. I don't know if you've seen it. State was a 9 playing UConn as the 8 seed. And then if they were to win that game, they'd play Duke as the 1 seed. So
not great.
Not great. So
you know what's crazy? I was having this conversation earlier, and the best possible matchup in an 8-9 mm-hmm. against a 1 might be Auburn. Would you agree with that?
You're gonna have to show me some work on this one for State.
Well, yeah. Well, here's why I say
what
that
I would say is
Houston. I think is the Houston's worst
bad matchup. That's a terrible
Houston one. Is the worst matchup. Mm-hmm. Florida, I think, is a worse matchup for Mississippi State than Auburn.
Okay, I see where you're getting at.
Duke is a worse matchup for Mississippi State with Cooper Flagg. Auburn is probably the best matchup for State, and that's a terrible matchup.
It's a skinnier than Hey Dad kind of comment.
Yeah.
The best possible matchup is somehow for Tennessee to win all the way to Saturday and get to be a one seed. That's the matchup State would want the most.
Tennessee would be the best matchup if they did get in the
I will say this. I would pay money to watch a Cooper Flagg, Cam Matthews matchup. I'd pay to watch.
Yes, that would be fun.
That would be a lot of fun. There'd be some smack being talked there. Hubbard's the story. I texted you midway through the game. I was like, I think Hubbard was listening. And to which you replied, well, I think their defense has something to do. See, you just wouldn't let me have it.
You don't get it. No, but you don't get that.
This is one where we're both right, where the defense showed up today. Obviously, LSU's struggles played a huge role in it. But Hubbard showed up, too. He had 26 points. He made 6 threes. He was really active getting with the ball. I thought he played one of his better games. He has been a Tiger killer. His 3 games against LSU in his career, he is – I told – last year I went down to Baton Rouge to watch them play. And I remember some LSU fan was like, who is this guy? And I just turned around and I was like, just a freshman. And his face was just like the color went out of his face. He was like, oh, no. I got to see this guy for the next few years. He has killed LSU in all 3 games he's played against them.
And Jans is 5-0 now, I believe, against LSU. So
you're right, yeah.
Yeah, so and you know, part of that is LSU's kind of on a bad run here.
They are. But
it has been
– anybody in this conference.
Yeah, and I think Josh was asked – I wasn't at the press conference. I was in the locker room, and I had a separate conversation with Josh. But I think he was asked – you know, he had 30 in the first meeting against LSU, scored 26 tonight. And he was asked, you know, what is it about LSU that, you know, kind of leads to the points that he's been able to score in the games he's been able to have. And he's, you know, he's just kind of said, I'm just taking kind of what the defense has given to me. And, you know, there it is. I don't know what else to say. I mean, that really is Josh Hubbard, though. It's just, it kind of comes and goes. I don't know if there's any rhyme or reason. It's just, you know, kind of how the game plays out for him and if his shots are falling. And the thing about Josh is a lot of people try to make it like, you know, he's just a volume shooter, but the shots that he shoots when he's missing these shots, how many of those have rimmed out?
Oh, he gets good. I mean, yeah,
it's not like he's chunking it up there and missing the whole goal.
Yeah,
you know, like he's still getting good shots, and sometimes they fall, sometimes they don't. That's what happens with these shooters.
Yeah,
and so the bottom line is he has now had the only 2 seasons in Mississippi State history with 100 makes.
Yeah,
and that is I can't even fathom it. Darrell Wilson had 2 seasons with over 90. Mm-hmm. Barry Stewart had a couple under 80. I think Rayvern Johnson actually had 3 with 80 plus.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's been able to do this. And there's been some really good 3-point shooters. We've seen some really good ones over time. This is a different kind of shooter that Mississippi State has never had before. And if you're a State fan, I just say enjoy it while you can. And don't listen to anybody that tells you that he's just getting it because he shoots almost 600 3-pointers over a career.
Right.
He's a special scorer, and scorers like this, they find ways to get their points. Tonight for him, it was the old-fashioned way and how he's done it since he's been at Mississippi State, and that's hitting the 3-pointers, and he was really good.
So in 3 games against LSU, he has 32, 30, and 26.
Not bad.
Play them every game. Goodness gracious, being All-American.
Yeah.
Cam Matthews was good tonight, too. You know, the stat line is a pretty typical one for Cam. 4 points, 5 rebounds, only 1 assist, but he only turned it over one time as well. Also had 4 steals in this game. And I think Murphy had – how many blocks did he have? It's only listed him with 1. It feels like he altered a lot of shots. State was really active on the defensive end, blocking shots, forcing bad passes. This was probably State's most complete game they've played in SEC play.
And that's kind of the frustrating thing about this team is,
yeah,
they just don't do it consistently.
Yeah.
And I think that's why people are so frustrated watching them is like they I've talked to before, like, is this roster capable of it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, they are.
And I think they are. I do think that it is a little more difficult for this team to defend the teams that can rotate the ball better around the perimeter and knock down open looks. LSU's not one of those teams. LSU's is not a team that's going to make you pay when they have the open looks. And the state's defense, especially with the players that they have right now, that just they don't close the three-point line as well as a DJ Jeffries or a Rams Davis or guys like that did. That is certainly something that hurts them, but LSU's not capable of doing that. But I do think that this team can be better defensively with some better effort. They've shown that. Mm-hmm. And that is what's kind of frustrating about them. But if they ever do put it together, if this is
– they could go on a run.
And I shudder to even, like, get on board with that because
don't think about it, yeah.
We thought that was happening.
Oh, don't do it.
After the Texas A&M game and Ole Miss game, and it just didn't. So, we'll see what happens. I think Thursday will tell us a lot about this team. If they make it to Florida, I don't think that's day three in a row. That's a bad matchup for this team. I'm not really taking a lot away from that. But if they do come out tomorrow and we see that same effort, then I think that this team has the ability to do something. It would be nice if they could get off that 8-9 line.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that means.
I don't mind. It's not even being off the 8-9 line, Robbie. It's just being off the 9. If you're the 8, it's okay. Because the 8s in this tournament are going to be tough. UConn being an 8, that's tough. The 9s are okay. You'll be all right if you're a 9.
Yeah.
Or you're the 8.
Yeah. Well, no, and the problem is that round 2, you got a 1, but
I don't know that there's any getting out of that unless
you're probably going to have to beat Missouri and Florida. And I don't even know if the committee
exactly
will look that deep.
They look. Yeah.
Because, everything I hear from coaches in this league is that like unless you're like on the 2-1 line,
they're not
or you're on the bubble.
Yeah.
They're not going to move a whole lot. Yeah. So, I mean, State might be where they are, but they might go from a 9 to an 8.
Which would be great.
It would be better.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think the biggest thing for Mississippi State is you just want to be playing better basketball right now. Yeah. You do not want to go into this next week feeling down on yourself.
You should not lose to Missouri the way you lost to Missouri back in February. You should be able to make that a more competitive game.
I thought it was interesting. I asked 3 different players in the locker room about that game and what they saw in the first game, what they need to do differently. Every single one of them said that they really felt like they were overlooking Missouri. I think that's very much a true statement. I remember feeling pretty confident coming into that ball game. I thought State was going to do well. I wasn't really sold on Missouri at the time. I do think the State went into that game thinking we're going to take care of business, and they took them lightly because that was a bad team the year before, and your memories from that team is blowing them out on the road. And you come in the ball game, they start shooting your eyeballs out, and your shots aren't falling. I'm interested to see what this one looks like because they have State's attention this time around, and Missouri hasn't been playing great. Now,
they haven't.
State wasn't playing great coming into this game. So, and they weren't last year either. State was playing very poorly last year. They had lost 4 straight games, I think, coming into the tournament. They lost 4 out of 5 this year. So I don't know if that means anything, but it will be a very interesting game to follow tomorrow to just see how far Mississippi State's come since the last time these 2 teams met.
And so with that, Mississippi State moves on in the SEC tournament. And now I have to. I wish you had the lab coat. We got to put it on here because we have to ask a question. Did Mississippi State tonight, did they defy the science?
Everybody's asking this, Brian.
This is what everybody's asking.
Everybody wants to know. So
where it was brought up on the Mississippi State baseball postgame by our friend Caleb Hamill. He said, bad night for science. Was it a bad night for science?
First of all, I cannot believe the life this has taken over the course of the last 2 years.
It's science, you know.
It's crazy. My mentions were flooded in the middle of the game, and people in press row were asking me questions about the science. Mississippi State people were asking me before the game, does this count as the science tonight? Like, if State wins in baseball and they win in basketball, are we good?
Mm-hmm.
So last week, this question was asked with women's basketball winning. Mm-hmm. And baseball winning.
Yeah, men's basketball
and lost. Yes, men's basketball lost. I don't think that we can discount the fact that the softball team sacrificed a game tonight. Mm-hmm. They lost to Middle Tennessee State.
They're not a great team either.
I've run the numbers on it.
Mm.
The numbers suggest to me that the science was still in play.
Another victory for science.
And I think that most of the fan base, you know, no offense to our good friend Tyler Bratton, our good friend Samantha Ricketts.
What you're going to say?
Well, I just feel like baseball needed to win badly.
Mm.
Basketball needed to win badly.
Mm.
The softball team right now is one of the hottest teams on campus.
Yeah, they could take a loss.
They could take one for the team tonight. I hate it had to happen this way, but that's what the science suggests. And again, I don't make all these rules. Mm-hmm. This is something that I've discovered in my own scientific theory over time. Crystal Method, our friend on Twitter, he asked me, you know, what happens if both teams win tonight. I also cannot predict the madness that March brings. That doesn't mean that the science.
There's a March
not still exist
to all this. There, you know, March plays a role in this. So,
but it's all about the percentages, Brian. And again, we might see.
There's
a chance that the meteor strikes our world here in 6-7 years.
Yeah,
there's a chance that we are all destroyed by a meteor. There is a chance that once every year the science is debunked between baseball and basketball, and it happened tonight. So, I don't know. We can declare one win. I think
this is an outlier, but we'll take it.
It's an outlier.
Let's talk about this baseball real quick, because back to back. Remember last year they went into Biloxi and they took a loss, and I think that was their fifth loss. So they're a game ahead of their pace from last year. Now it's going to be about what they can do in SEC play. Two different games, you know. State Tuesday night, 9 runs on the board. I think you tweeted something about they were on a pretty good streak of 5 runs or more in a game. That comes to an end on Wednesday, a 2-1 win. Pitching obviously very good in that one, but the hitting sort of lackluster against not a great Nicholls State staff. But I guess at some point, you know, it's baseball, and you know, as much as we like to sometimes take, I think people use that phrase too often. Sometimes they like to make excuses, but at the same time, sometimes
it does exist.
It does exist. And we could say that's baseball is science as well, maybe, if we wanted to.
100%.
Dr. Ron Polk. That's why you have the Dr. Ron Polk.
He wrote a book.
He wrote an entire thesis on
coaching.
The science of baseball.
Yeah.
What do we think about the team going? What you know, now that we're at the point where it's SEC play, do you feel like they've come together and they've sort of shaken off that bad weekend in Houston? Or you still going to be maybe – are you still thinking, okay, I want to see the results of this weekend before I'm willing to commit?
I do want to see what happens this weekend, but I think we've seen some really positive developments. And you mentioned, you know, tonight offense wasn't great, but I think we've seen enough from the offense. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a weird game. You know, you have Noah Sullivan and Nolan Stevens are pitching. You know, I don't know. The lineup was kind of disrupted a little bit, and I think – it's Chris Lemonis and Justin Parker trying to navigate 2 midweek games ahead of SEC play.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those deals where you just have to survive those 2 games and come out of it 2-0. And they lost no bullpen pitching throughout the week, so everybody's going to be available this weekend. I thought really good job by, you know, the pitching staff just holding it together. That isn't a great Nichols team, but we've seen them lose to worse teams. You threw four guys, and two of them who pitched the bulk of the innings were position players that are probably not going to pitch much in SEC play. So, I like what I saw there, and offensively wasn't great, but they found a way to win. We've seen enough from the offense now. They had five straight games. During that winning streak, they had five straight games or nine or more runs, mm-hmm. which had not been done since 2010.
Right.
And then 11 straight games of five runs had never been done since 2000. So it's a team that I think's playing, despite that, mm-hmm. tonight, they're playing good baseball.
They sort of like what we were just saying, like, you can have an off night. It's just not that big a deal. As long as you get the win, nobody cares.
The biggest thing right now through non-conference play is in the past 3 years, mm-hmm. they've had bad non-conference losses before they even got to SEC play.
Yeah.
And they were fighting an uphill battle the whole way. Mm-hmm. I think at this point, you're fairly even in like where you want to be right now. I mean, they're usually going to take a couple of lumps in non-conference play. I think you'd like to have, at least three of those games back that you lost, specifically Troy and then the two games in Houston.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think you're in good shape right now. If you can come out in SEC play and you can get 18, 19 wins, mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to be staring down the barrel of a two seed like you did last year.
I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. But it starts.
And that's what you – like that – from a Mississippi State perspective, that's like your mindset is how do you host? That's the Mississippi State thing. Is like the goal is always hosting, and you want to get home games at Duty Noble for postseason because it's the best way to get to Omaha.
Yeah.
And for State, it's first and foremost, how do you host? And secondly, whenever you do feel like you're hosting, how do you move up that seed line to be a national seed? And I think State's in decent position, but they're still – under the radar right now because the SEC has been really freaking good in the early part of the schedule. You look at a lot of those teams, how impressive some of those teams have been, whether the schedule's good or not. States, and you look at some power rankings and things, States 10 or below in a lot of those. So a lot of people just don't have a lot of high expectations for Mississippi State right now. This is a chance this weekend to really impress. And it's going to be tough. Texas has been pretty good. They're top 15 right now. They're going to be chomping at the bit coming into the Duty Noble for the first time. And that should be a really fun series. It's one that Mississippi State needs to get. And I'm interested to see how they set up the rotation, if it'll be the same that we saw, and what that lineup looks like, specifically game one, and how the Bulldogs handle moving into this new season here.
Yeah. Big weekend for Mississippi State. That's kind of what got things going last year was that first weekend of SEC play. Coming out of non-conference where they had not played well, they take two out of three from the then number two team in the country, LSU. Texas mm-hmm. comes in as a top 10 team. You need to get this series. The one of the keys just to making the postseason is don't get swept and don't lose your home series. And so you're at home this weekend. You need to take two. If you get three, that's just gravy. But taking two is kind of a must because if you don't take two here, if you don't take this series, it means you've got to win a road series down the road or you've got to sweep a home series to make that game up. And it adds up. So State needs to be on top of its game starting Friday, 6 o'clock, when the Texas Longhorns arrive at Duty Noble Field. All right.
Oklahoma just beat Georgia. Is Oklahoma in the tournament?
Oklahoma is in, I think. I think Texas might be in now. We might see 14 teams.
Jeez.
Might get 14. That win for Texas
is really big
today. Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. So, all right, let's move into the rest of the show. We've got a spring preview to do. Let's do that. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother in the Cotton District. When you're talking about a great place to go eat in Starkville, those are two of the first names you're going to reel off. We love going to Two Brothers. We love the Older Brother. Two of our favorite places in the city. When people come into town, Robbie's up there right now. And if he's in Nashville and he's talking to people and they're like, hey, I'm going to be in Starkville this year for when State plays, whatever. Where should I go eat? He's going to say, you should go to eat Two Brothers. You should go eat at the Older Brother. And yes, that's what I would be saying too. So
I totally, I keep forgetting about the older brother. It's because we haven't been in a while, but yeah. There was a Twitter account that Occupy Left Field or something. I think it's a group of Texas. I don't know if they're reporters or what, but they're coming to the game this weekend, and I gave them some suggestions on where to eat, the bars to go to, things like that. I mentioned two brothers twice, mm-hmm. but I did not mention the older brother, and that's my bad. I feel like I'm slacking here. I've got to get back over there and get a cheeseburger, and I'll be good to go.
You do need to do that. There's
get me back on get me back on track, hey Dad, please.
I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. We'll see what we can do. All right. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing that for 50 years.
There's going to be 50 SEC teams in the NCAA tournament this year.
Might as well be.
At least it feels that way.
We're counting the Sun Belt. We're counting
anybody that's in the South.
Yeah. McNeese. We're counting them. Will Wade's an SEC guy. We're counting
Southeastern Conference gangster, in my opinion.
Absolutely. When you need new technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. If you need service on something they've sold you, you call the same number. You talk to the same people. Not a call center, not a 1-800 number, not on hold 45 minutes. People who know you, they're going to take care of you. They're going to deliver top quality service after the sale. 601-362-9192 is the number. absms.com is the website. Let Advantage Business Systems teach you how Let Advantage Business Systems show. I've forgotten the slogan. I forgot it. Let Advantage Business Systems.
Oh boy,
how have I forgotten it?
What a disaster!
It's like 1,000 shows, and I've said it. I can't remember.
It's late. I'll give you credit.
No, I gotta remember it, don't I?
Yes, you do have to remember it.
Advantage Business Systems. So you. I don't remember it. I've brain farted here. I'm gonna have to go listen to an old show, I guess. I 601-362-9192 or visit them online. absms.com. Let Advantage Business Systems show you. I cannot remember it. Early onset Alzheimer's has affected me. All right, move on. When you're in Starkville this weekend.
Oh, boy.
I know, man. Sorry, Advantage Business Systems. My bad. You know what's funny, though? That I made up that slogan.
Let Advantage Business Systems do your business.
That's not it. I made up that slogan, too. It's not their slogan. Like, I came up with it. So I can't believe I can't remember it. So you
have. Well, they've been doing it for 50 years. I know that.
50. All right, if you're in Starkville this weekend, Maroon & Co. is the place to go. I'm going to swing by Maroon & Co. later today to buy a new MSU t-shirt for our time this weekend. You need to do the same. You need to go there, grab you a polo, grab you a hat, get ready for baseball, get ready for spring football, whatever it is, they've got it at Maroon & Co. If it's maroon and white, it's there. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to remember to take 15% off regular price items. I'm out of it today, man. It's been a long day.
Hey, you're telling me.
Under 15% off regular price items. Some exclusions do apply. Next time you're here in Starkville, make sure you're at Maroon & Co. Let Advantage Business Systems show you. Nope, I still can't get it. I can't get it out of my brain. Let Advantage Business Systems.
Don't need to text somebody that listens to the show religiously.
Yeah, you might. I feel bad. I can't remember the slogan. Advantage Business Systems. I don't know. All right, let's get into our spring preview. It's kind of weird doing these spring previews right now with so much going on, but we need to start them now because otherwise we'll be into May trying to finish them. It's time to talk about the Auburn Tigers. Very interesting team, coach on the hot seat, high expectations. What can we expect from Auburn? Let's go now to a guy, this is his first time on the podcast. I want to welcome from AL.com, their new Auburn beat writer, Peter Radicus. He joins us now on the podcast. Let's keep going on the spring previews here. We're talking about the Auburn Tigers with first time on the podcast for Peter Radicus joining us here from AL.com. Appreciate you coming on with us, man. So this is my question. Coming into this season, is this a fair statement? It's not going to be enough for Auburn to be back in a bowl this year. It's not going to be enough to win 8 or 9 games. with the way that program has expectations, they expect to contend for the college football playoff this year. Is that fair?
I mean, yeah, I think that's definitely the hope, but at the same time, it's one of those. I think right now the biggest thing is there just needs to be progress. I think that's what people are looking for. And, right now, I mean, you're right, progress doesn't really mean much given what the last two seasons have been. So I think, people are looking for more than, 6-7 wins, just getting back to a bowl game. But at the same time, I don't know quite how realistic, say, a championship or competing for SEC or college football playoff is next season. But I do still think that that is the hope and somewhat of an expectation, even though I don't think it's necessarily make or break for this year's team.
So, with that being said, you know as well as I do, it's going to start at the quarterback position for Auburn. Peyton Thorne these past couple of years just has not been able to be the playmaker that a Hugh Freeze offense needs at that position. Jackson Arnold, we all know about him here in Starkville. State was tried to recruit him. He ends up at Auburn. Very familiar with Jeff Lebby. Is he the right fit for this system? Do you see him being the kind of quarterback that can thrive under Hugh Freeze?
But I think Hugh Freeze definitely felt that way. I think that's why, he really wanted him. It's interesting, the Jackson Arnold situation. You look at him at Oklahoma, where he really, quite frankly, did not have a good year at all last season. But I think when you also look at the context of that season, his receiving core was battered with injuries throughout the season. His offensive coordinator was fired midseason. It just overall wasn't really a good situation. And so I think, Hugh Freeze brings him in, with the idea that, okay, this guy kind of fits what we want to do. He's mobile. Hugh Freeze kept talking about how much he liked his arm and how much, he liked him as a deep ball passer. And this guy who's a 5-star out of high school. I mean, he obviously has the talent, so I think the hope is from Auburn that, in this system, and he's going to have weapons at Auburn, much better weapons than he had last season in Oklahoma, that they really can get that 5-star potential out of him.
So, you're losing Jarquez Hunter, that guy who's been one of the top running backs in the conference. And of course, if you're, familiar with Auburn has always been a place where they've had great running backs. Is that the position battle you've got an eye on this spring? Is that running back position? Who takes over for Hunter and is that next great Auburn running back?
Yeah, running back's going to be interesting this season. I don't know that it's necessarily going to be just one guy. You've got Jeremiah Cobb and Demaryius Austin coming back, who were kind of the two splitting carries behind Hunter last year. I would say Austin got more of them, but Cobb is a younger guy who's got some potential. They brought in Darrell Robinson, a transfer from UConn out of the portal, who had a really good season, albeit at a slightly lower level last season. And then you've got two freshmen coming in. You've got Alvin Henderson, who just set the AHSAA all-time rushing record, in high school. Then you've got another guy, Omar Mapson, from a local kid from Auburn High School who's reclassifying, going to school a year earlier. So, it's going to be interesting. I don't think, if you ask me right now, I don't know that it's going to be just one guy like you had with Hunter last year. I think we're going to see a few different guys who, split carries and, really going to be more of a running back by committee approach.
When I look at this Auburn depth chart on the offensive line, it looks like that's a group that's got some experience coming back and could be a strength for them. Is that how you see that? Because, we all know that in football, if you're not good up front, you're not going to be good at all. Is this an Auburn offensive line that could be the strength of this team?
Yeah, I mean, it's a solid group. Like you said, really experienced. You got a lot of guys coming back. I mean, you've got all five starters, at least from the end of the season, coming back. And then you added, two other Power Five starters, and you got Mason Murphy from USC, and you got Xavier Chaplin from Virginia Tech, who Xavier Chaplin most likely slides in to become the starting left tackle, kicking, Dylan Wade inside the guard, which is where he started the season. So, yeah, I think it has the potential to be a strength. It's just kind of making, I think the biggest piece is going to be Xavier Chaplin at left tackle, because they really didn't have just a strong bookend left tackle last season. You had Percy Lewis started the season, didn't go great. He ends up getting benched. Dylan Wade takes over. He was solid, but that's obviously not where they wanted him to play last season. So, I think it's got potential to be really solid. I don't know that it's going to be the strength of the team, but I think it has to be at least improved, and it has to be solid for this offense to be what it can be.
What about on the defensive side of the ball? What are the position battles you're keeping an eye on this spring?
Yeah, the defense is interesting. I think the defense has potential to be really, really good this season. I mean, last season it was already solid, and they were playing a lot of freshmen, and now you're getting all those guys back. The position group that kind of stands out to me right now, it's at linebacker. They're going to be really young there. You know, you lose Eugene Asante, you lose Story Amausi, you lose Austin Keys. These are all, really experienced guys who kind of help you right there. The really exciting one is DeMarcus Riddick. You know, played a little bit as a freshman last year. He's probably going to, definitely be a starter this year. Now you've got some guys coming back. You got Robert Woodyard. He didn't really play a lot, last year, but solid piece who can step up into that role. You got Zadre Atkins, a transfer from LSU, who didn't play a lot at LSU, but young guy has the potential. You brought in some freshmen. You got Elijah Melendez, who the staff is really high on. You got Ja'Kalo Faulk, who's the brother of Kendrick Faulk up front. So there's a lot of youth, and there seems to be a lot of talent, but there's not a lot of experience up there. And he's one position that Hugh Freeze talked about on signing day. The young guys are gonna have to play there, and we'll still see what they do in the portal post spring, but that's the position group I've, kind of the most interested in seeing, just because you've got a lot of talent, but a lot of unproven talent in that on that position.
You've mentioned a lot of the new faces that Auburn are going to see this spring. As part of with the portal now, there's always going to be some new faces. We haven't talked about the one I think Auburn fans are the most excited about, and that's Eric Singleton, the receiver from Georgia Tech. He and Cam Coleman, I mean, that should be one of the top 1-2 punches in college football this year, if Arnold can be what we're talking about at the quarterback position. What was the pitch for him to come to Auburn? Because this is not a program over the past few years that has put a ton of pro wide receivers out there. They had a good stretch back, maybe 10 years ago. What made Auburn the place for him, and how good can he be for this Auburn Tiger team?
Well, I think a part of it's relationships, and a part of it is, obviously the history of wide receivers the last, however many years have been there. But I mean, just look at last year. They brought in Keandre Lambert-Smith, the transfer of 1 year, and you look at the season he had. I mean, he came to Auburn specifically because, at Penn State, he wasn't probably going to get the targets, and he wasn't going to become an NFL receiver the way he wanted to. He just wasn't going to get the looks that he would at Auburn. And I think, it was a similar pitch for Eric Singleton. And I think, they also kind of sold to him the idea that, look, we're a program that's really trying to build. We've got a lot of young pieces. You can come here and be part of it, and we can really take it to the next step this year. He also had a really close relationship with Kenyatta Watson, who's an Auburn recruiting
Elite
staffer.
recruiter.
Big, yes, really, really good recruiter, especially in the state of Georgia. So I think all of those things, kind of helped, went into, how they were able to get him to Auburn.
When you look at this Auburn team, coming out of the spring, what's the one question they want, you want to see them answer before the end of this period?
I mean, I think it's the quarterback. I think it's, what do they want Jackson Arnold to be in this offense? How, we've seen Hugh Freeze talk about, this is the guy that fits, but what does that fit look like? What are they going to do to get, to get the most out of him, to get him to be the guy that, a lot of people thought he was going to be coming out of high school, and that the staff obviously believes that he still has in him. And I think if they have that, there's no reason why, like you said, this team can't be really good. I mean, you look at last season, a lot of they lost so many close games, and a lot of it came down to, quarterback play in a lot of cases, whether it's a late turnover, whether it's just not executing late in the game. So I think that's going to be the big thing. And it's, to an extent, there's only so much you can really tell from spring. In practicing, it's, you're not really going to know what you've got until you're going against live competition. You're lacing it up against Baylor in August. But I think for me, that's what I'm looking at most. And it's kind of the easy answer, but that's what I'm looking at the most.
All right, final question. It's the question we're asking everybody on these preview interviews. Today's March the 11th. If I were to call you back on the day after the Iron Bowl, what are you telling me about this Auburn football team?
Ooh, that's tough. I think, as you said, if you call me back at the end of the season, I think, it's a team that, I think this team's going to show growth. I think it's a team that, is moving forward. It's hard to say now how much of a leap forward and how fast that growth is going to happen, but I think it's a team that's growing. I look at a team that last year played a whole bunch of freshmen on the defense and, had some really talented freshmen on offense. I think this is the year that, we see them take that next step. And I think the biggest thing is going to be some of those games that they had no business losing, and they had won. I think the next step is closing out some of those games. And that's how you turn, maybe not going from a 5-7 to a championship team, but that's how you go from 5-7 to 8-4, 9-3. And if you get a position where you're winning 8-9 games, who's to say you can't turn a couple more of those into 10, 11 games. You know, you're looking at 10, 11 games, then you are a contender. Then you are talking about SC championships. You are talking about college football playoffs. And you are back to where this program, you know, wants to be. I mean, this is a program that has, you know, quite frankly, been just a non-factor in the SEC since about 2019. You know, and that's not what anybody at Auburn expects. You know, and I think Hugh Freeze understands that, especially going into year three, where, you know, I think it's time that he needs to prove something. I think that's how a lot of people around here feel that, you know, this is, you know, it's hard to say whether or not it's make or break, but this is all right. You know, you had 2 years, you know, you kind of, you know, we understand it might take a little bit, but now, you know, we want to see something. And I think, you know, this season is every year, this season is every reason to believe that that can happen.
We shall see. Interesting team out there on the Plains. I'll be following them pretty closely. For a team that doesn't play Mississippi State this year at all, that's a team I have my eye on, though, for sure. Peter Rauterkus, thanks so much for your time, man. Really appreciate you. We'll definitely have you back on as we continue on this football season. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
I didn't want to ask him the really hard question. I don't want to put him in a bad spot. I'll ask you, though. Hugh Freeze still the Auburn coach when we get to the end of the season?
I think so. I think he's going to be better this year, and I think they're going to probably win eight games, eight or nine, maybe. I don't know. I don't know. I haven't looked at their schedule, but I think they'll be a better team and they'll show progress. And I don't think John Cohen's going to pull the trigger if he's better than 6-6 or something like that. Yeah, I think he is. And the thing about him is they showed significant progress in recruiting in the portal. So having better players alone, it's hard for me to imagine Hugh Freeze having the success that he's had over the years. He's not going to be able to get something out of him. Now, like, I think I don't know if it was hard-headedness or what, but it was kind of alarming that he had the quarterback play that he did, and he never did anything about it. And they will have a better quarterback,
Potentially.
at least on paper, in
Potentially.
Jackson Arnold. But I think he should be fine. I don't know. I mean,
My
I
only
don't
concern
really.
is this with Auburn. You tell me if I'm wrong. They see Alabama coming back down to earth, right?
Yes.
So is it going to be enough if they go 8-4 this year?
It'll be enough for him to keep his job, but next year he
It'll
would
be playoff and
certainly,
bust.
yeah.
Okay.
If not playoff, you know, they need to be 9-3.
Well, I mean, in
So,
contention for the playoff, we'll say.
right.
Yeah,
They
because
have, I'm
if they're
just
9-2 going
perusing.
into the Iron Bowl, then, you know, you're in contention for the playoff.
Is Sawyer Robertson still at Baylor?
He is. We were talking
Okay.
about that game on Sports Talk Mississippi today. That is a sneaky
It's a
week one
big
game
game.
with a lot of meaning.
It's at Baylor
On a Friday.
on a Friday.
They moved it.
Interesting.
They moved it. It's a Friday night game. Yeah.
And then the SEC play starts at Norman and at College Station.
Yeesh.
And then you got Georgia.
Yeah. It's a tough
Don't know. I mean,
schedule.
they should beat Arkansas. They should beat Kentucky. They should beat Missouri. They should beat Vandy.
Whoa. Did you just say that Hugh Freeze should beat Diego Pavia? I don't think so, my friend.
I was not taking that into account. I
I
was
gave
just looking
that
at the
Vanderbilt.
logo.
Oh, did you dare give that one to Auburn?
That's on me. That's on me. They're going to have a chance to win eight, I think.
All right. I will.
One, two.
I could see that the
I'll
Auburn
say
fans,
three,
you know how they
four.
are, Robbie. You know how they are.
Yeah, the toss-up games are big. You got the Baylor game is
Got to win
huge.
that.
And then you need to take one of two against Oklahoma and A&M. I don't feel great with Georgia, but Georgia had
I
some
mean,
hit or miss.
Georgia.
Yeah, but we'll see how it goes. I mean, it's not the toughest schedule, like logo wise, but I think A&M's going to be tough, especially at home. I think Oklahoma's going to be better.
Yeah.
So,
We'll see.
you know, it could be it could get dicey.
It could. It could. I think it will. I think it will. All right. Tomorrow's show, Robbie will report live again from Nashville.
I will not. I will be. You'll have to handle it solo tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Well,
Yeah, I gotta come home right after the game.
okay.
I gotta be home
No
tomorrow.
worries. I'll figure it out.
And it won't even be future Brian. It'll just be Brian.
Yeah, be Brian, yeah. Is Sam up there with you?
Yes, he might could. Well, I'll talk to him. I don't know. Well, he's got a lot of stuff to do, too.
I'll figure it out. Don't worry about it, one way or the other. We will have a podcast on
Friday. He's about 15 feet away from me right now.
We will also have another spring preview tomorrow. We'll do Florida. Graham Hall from Swamp 24/7 joins me for the preview of the Florida Gators as the team state's playing. So something interesting to talk about a team that could be one to watch this upcoming season for both good and bad. We'll do that tomorrow. All right, Robbie, talk to you again this weekend, and we will see you soon. Have a safe trip home, and talk to you later. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. If anybody can remember the Advantage Business System slogan, you feel free to tweet it at me. Thank you.
Oh, they will.
They will.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.